Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for Friday, February 4th, 2011, Episode 70, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hold on, Jamie. Hold on. Hold on.
Hold on. Start the show.
Just hold on. I'm busy. Hold on. Oh, here we go. All right. The race is off. Oh, my horse is in the lead, actually. Oh, wait a minute. Number three's coming up. I got number one voted on. I got $10 bet on this race. And number one. Oh, there comes number one. Number one's coming up at the pack. I wouldn't make a very good racing announcer, would I? This is really good graphics, actually. I'm actually playing that virtual three. Ah! Number one just lost. Do you know how much money I've lost in this stupid Android game? This is good graphics, though.
Are you talking about the game you downloaded yesterday, the horse racing game on your Android? Oh, my God.
Oh, wait a minute. Number one came back and won. I won $6.
You won $6 on a $10 bet? That's pathetic.
Yeah, it is pretty pathetic. I actually lost $100 yesterday when I was playing this game. And it went about as quickly as it does when I go to the real track. I got to say, this game is called this game's called Virtual Horse Racing 3D, and the graphics are unbelievable. It's a fun game, and it's free.
That's amazing. And it's amazing that your horse won and you picked a 3-5 one, the favorite. So way to go, Glenn. You picked a favorite on a computer game and you won.
See, the problem I have is when I go to the track, I just can't bet on one horse. I have to bet on, like, numerous horses. So no matter how – even if I win, I lose because I've bet on the other horses. I don't know. ADD does not allow me to bet on one horse. It's boring. So I have to bet on multiple horses. And
so
that's the problem. I always
So you bet on three horses, and they all come in ace, ninth, and tenth? Congratulations. You lose.
Well, I even lose when one of them comes in first because I bet so much on the other one.
Yeah, I can't bet on horses either simply because I go to the paddock and I look at them and I pick the prettiest one, the one that would make the best eventing prospect. And the reason that they make the best eventing prospect is because they're slow racehorses. So I totally know. I'm like, ooh, that one could do a pee off nicely. Yeah, that's because they can't run fast. So I totally understand what you're saying. But
do you mind if I just take the morning off and play my game, try and win some of my money back, or do I actually have to work?
Put the game down. I know it's Freestyle Friday, and you're in a good mood. You know, your wife's gonna ride her horse today before this next snowstorm comes in. But you've got to put the game down. Put your finger off the button, Glenn.
All right, I put the phone away. Now we can just do our show. Fun's over.
Jennifer, what do we have on the show today?
On today's show, we are going to be all over the
the place, geographically, that is. Allison Springer, event rider out of Virginia, will be here to get everyone on board with Derby Cross, which is coming up soon in Florida. And then Darlene Newman will be here with her monthly fun fest of horsey travel stories from all over the world. And to round out the show, Sarah will be here with this week's Chronicle Report. It's going to be the Battle of the Bloggers, North versus South. And here in the Horses in the Morning Studios, Mid-South, Glenn will be all over the map as usual. And Jamie will be keeping it all real from the Phoenix Satellite Studio.
Wait a minute. How come I'm all over the map and she's, like, keeping it real?
Because it's true. Oh, boy.
This is a guy who has to bet on three horses in a race because he can't, for a minute and a half, focus on just one horse.
Oh, my God. That's true. So true.
I got to tell you guys, speaking of not being able to focus, on to the next thing. Madison, who happens to be a friend of mine on Facebook, a high school kid, she said, I got to give her a shout out to Madison. She posted this morning, and it just epitomizes horse girl. Only a horse girl would do this. She said, snow, no school, nothing else could make me jump out of bed at 6 in the morning so happily. Okay, so only a horse girl would be jumping out of bed at 6 in the morning in any form, happy or not, when there's no school, when they have a snow day. Most kids are sleeping in, but a horse girl, nope, a horse girl is up and out of bed because she wants to get to the barn. That's
now,
a typical horse girl.
It is. I'm going to tell you, that when I saw this and you were going to read this on the air, my first thought was, whatever, any child is going to jump out of bed because it's a snow day. But then I thought, well, I was the type of child that jumped out of bed. But I do remember most of my friends would say, oh, I get to go back to sleep. So I really think you're absolutely right that only a horse chick would be so excited at 6 a.m. to be able to go ride their horse in the snow so happily and not have to go to school. So I totally understand where you're coming from, Madison. And Glenn, you're exactly right. Exactly right.
It's what makes horse girls a different breed altogether. You know, they are definitely a different breed. And this is just one of the 100,000 things we can put on that long list of things that make horse girls horse girls. And also, that long list could also, every one of them, be used as a warning for any potential boyfriends who think about dating a horse girl.
Yeah, you guys go back to sleep. We'll be back in a couple hours. That's pretty much what they have to know.
All right. Well, we have a fun show planned today. You got Allison coming up. Remember we talked a couple weeks ago about Derby Cross, and none of us really knew what it was, and we weren't quite sure exactly how. I know kind of what it is, but we weren't sure exactly how it worked. Well, Allison was kind enough. She's traveling today, and she was kind enough to come on the air. She's actually one of the team captains of one of the Derby Cross teams, so we're going to get her on here in a bit. But you're kind of excited, too, today, you told me earlier, because we have Darley coming up from Equitrekking, and I know you're doing some travel planning, and you want to talk to her.
Yeah, the worst place to be, the best place to be in the wintertime is Phoenix, because it's beautiful, but the absolute god-awful hell-on-earth worst place to be in the summertime is Phoenix as well, because, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like 117 degrees here throughout the summer, so we decided we need to get out. By the way, I'm going to need some time off for travel, by the way. Just go ahead and write that down. So my husband and I have been looking online and I at places to go, and we're trying to figure out, you know, do we want to go overseas or do we want to stick around here? We really are in the beginning planning stages of a vacation. And so I told him, there's this woman that we talked to on the air that I do believe she has a whole list of places to travel on her website. So we went to equitrekking.com, and oh my gosh, it is horse riding palooza as far as vacations go. Every single place you could potentially want to go. I mean, we looked at traveling in Spain and riding Andalusians, and we decided that I'm probably too young to take my dream vacation as far as how much it costs, but it's there. You can learn about riding in Wyoming. You can learn about riding in California, Costa Rica, British Columbia, Wellington, Maui, Albuquerque. There's vacations on here all over the place on her Equitrekking website. So Chad and I were looking that up, and I do have a couple questions for her because, again, we want to go somewhere cool, but Chad's like, wait a second. You mean we have to take a horseback riding vacation when we have horses in our backyard that we're leaving because it's too hot? I'm like, yes, honey. We have to ride horses on our vacation. He's like, but
see,
I don't
know. That was something that Jennifer and I always, that was one of my rules because we, when we had our big farm, it was horses all the time. And when we went on vacation, it could not involve a horse. That was my rule is no matter what, there could not be a horse involved. So we
really?
Always went on the anti-horse vacations. Yeah. Yeah. Because, I was kind of sick of the horses by the time we actually went on vacation. So,
yeah. You apparently have a stronger hand than my husband because he loses.
You're newlyweds is why. Hey, I wanted to ask you, is this your first, Valentine's Day coming up together as a married couple?
Yeah, it absolutely is. I don't know what I'm going to do. What should I do? What do you do for your husband on your first Valentine's Day?
Can't say it on the air.
Oh. Duh. That's obviously included. I'm thinking more gift ideas, but
Oh, I was too. Believe me, I was too. It's all in the. Let's just say, Jamie, that it's all in the wrapping. It's all in the wrapping.
Oh my god, I'm embarrassed. I'm blushing. Non-Glenn related gift ideas, please post on Facebook. I was thinking simply of getting it because he's a Giants fan. We're both baseball fans, and he's a Giants fan, so Giants won the World Series. So I was looking at getting him a T-shirt or memorabilia from the World Series, but I think your idea might be simpler. Just go over to Victoria's Secrets and go crazy.
When are you guys going to learn? When are women going to learn that that's all we want? You don't have to buy us anything. That makes our day. It's very happy. It's all we want. It's all we've ever wanted. It's all we will ever want. That's it. When are you going to figure that out?
It's that simple. Just
We're not... Guys are not complicated creatures. We're that simple. We really are. Yeah.
Okay, well, here I am working on gift ideas and trying to put together this awesome package of stuff, and you just say I just need to go to Victoria's Secrets or Frederick's of Hollywood.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That about describes it. And on that note, I'm sure that Allison is going to be thrilled to join us. Now we have with us one of the United States' brightest stars in the sport of eventing. And she is one of the founding members of the Professional Riders Organization. In March in Wellington, they're going to be holding what's called a Derby Cross competition. And we want to know what exactly is a Derby Cross. So let's bring Allison on there. Hi, Allison. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sorry, Allison.
I know you're... you have to forgive our previous conversation, Allison.
No, that's fine. I think I missed a good one. I just came on at the very end of what guys want, but it sounds like lingerie.
What we want is you in the lingerie. See, that's the key to the whole thing. Yeah, see.
Okay. I think most horseback riders from Florida, I think my arms are tan, my hands are white, the rest of my body is completely white, so I don't think lingerie is going to be good for me. Or bathing suit or anything. So I've got some really funny farm tans going on right now, but I shouldn't complain because I know everyone up north does not have that, so that's okay.
I know you're driving, so the connection is not perfect, but we'll make sure we do what we can here this morning. You're a team captain for a Derby Cross competition, and we did get some questions, and we have some questions too. first of all, explain to us what is a Derby cross competition and what exactly do you do?
Well, the Derby cross concept was started by a couple pro members, Sinead Halpin and Rebecca Howard, along with a friend of theirs, Dana Voorhees, a number of years ago. And their idea was they wanted to be able to promote the sport of eventing and bring in new spectators and new enthusiasts to our sport who didn't know much about it. Obviously, like, I think eventing is the greatest equestrian sport that there is. The challenge that eventing has is that it is very hard for a spectator to watch. You know, it drags out over a longer period of time. And so to hook new people into our sport is oftentimes challenging. Obviously, you can go to a polo match Sunday afternoon and watch a two-hour game. You can go to the Grand Prix on Sunday and watch that. And that's very easy to watch. Our sport, unfortunately, is a bit more challenging. So the hope is to find, you know, to create what I like to call, you know, the 8 seconds of eventing, you know, meaning the 8 seconds of bull riding, right? They have that entertainment of the rodeo, and we want to capture people into our sport. So Derby Cross was invented to be that, to promote our sport in a very easy and fun way to follow. So we did away with the dressage, and I guess that's why.
Oh, sorry.
I know. You know I love dressage. I love it. I'm good at it. I don't really want to watch myself doing it all that much. But so it's all the great part. You know, it's our show jumping and our cross-country combined. And what's great about Derby Cross is that it's a team competition. It's not just the individuals, but it's a team competition. And we want to bring people in from other sports as well. So on each team, you have 3 event riders, 1 top show jump rider, and 1 top polo player. So down to Wellington, that's going to be great because we can draw everyone in. And each, it's a timed event. And so each rider goes 1 at a time, obviously. And then at the end of your round, you get to do a bogey fence, which would take time off your final score. In the past, I'm not entirely sure what we're doing this year. David O'Connor is our course designer, so we know it's going to be a great course. In the past, the eventers have had to do a pretty high airy vertical, which we know is a bit challenging for our horses. And in the past, the show jump riders have had to do a more technical cross-country fence, something like a corner or a chevron that their horses don't get to see a lot of. So, you know, it's going to be a really safe and fun competition. You know, it's all to music and, you know, the one thing that pro in taking on the Derby Cross idea, the one thing that we have done to improve the format is that we want to bring a more educational and entertaining part of it. So it's going to be hosted by Leslie Law and Boyd Martin. And so they're going to be they'll be talking to the crowd and educating people about what's going on. I know in the past, spectators have thoroughly enjoyed watching Derby Cross. Some people were a little confused about, you know, different things, and so that's where we saw improvement, where we could have sort of the lecture and demo sort of thing going on at the same time. So it's going to be a fantastic event. I'm really excited.
It sounds like it, and there's a couple things here. One is Boyd doing the announcing has got to make it fun. And the second thing is you've got polo players jumping. How does that work?
You know, these guys are really good horsemen. You know, all the polo players that have agreed to do it, they are fantastic riders. They do another benefit down in Wellington for the Equestrian Aid Foundation, which is the triathlon. So they've had the polo players show jumping and doing dressage and whatnot for that. These guys are very, very good riders. Some of them have, you know, I think most of them have jumped before, but we picked really good riders, good horsemen. And they'll be doing more of your novice level jumps. It won't be as obviously hard. The show jumpers will be on their own horses, so they'll be jumping show jumps that are quite a bit bigger, and then their cross-country fences will be a little bit easier. But it's all
Allison.
In the main arena. Sorry?
Allison, I got to say, I'm going to have to call you out on this a little bit. You creators of this derby cross sport, the reason you guys threw in the polo players, don't lie to me, is the potential of getting Nacho Figueres to be on a horse next to you is just, you know, he's the Ralph Lauren model. So I've seen polo players, and they're all good looking, and I think that was a fantastic idea to bring them into this sport.
Oh, yeah. They are good looking. They are that for sure. And they're all, it's a really great group of guys that have signed on to do it, and they're really excited about it. I saw Chris Campson last night at a fundraiser, and he's definitely very excited. We've got some great guys that want to get involved. All of our show jump riders are phenomenal, too. We've got Katie Perdant, we have Laura Kraut, we have Ian Miller, Captain Canada, how great is that? Leading, you know, with a whole Canadian team.
Wow.
We've got Aaron Vail, who everybody loves watching Aaron Vail on a jump off. And who else do we have? Did I name the five there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. So it's going to be really exciting. We're just all excited.
Yeah, you have a pretty good team yourself. You got Will Coleman, you got Jervina Bloomberg.
Yeah.
You have Louis Escobar for the polo side.
Yep.
I mean, you have a pretty good team.
Yep. All the teams are fantastic. All the teams are fantastic. And, you know, it's going to be great since it's in the main arena. The footing is going to be exceptional. And we are the pre-entertainment to the puissance going on that evening. So it's a real big weekend in Wellington. So, we're hoping to get a great crowd out there. And I think you're going to see some good horses there. I mean, I'll use Destination Known. That's my plan to bring Berger out. He's my Derby Cross ringer. He loves it. No dressage and rock and roll music is all about Berger. So, he'd love listening to a little music and getting cheered on. So, should just be a fantastic weekend. And I love, with Leslie and Boyd are so entertaining. So we'll have a great educational part of it as well, and they'll be doing some demos and riding themselves. So tying in, the lecture demo series in Europe are very popular. And so that was something that we wanted to bring to the States. So I think it'll be just a great night of entertainment, and hopefully we can get some excitement about our sport and get some people wanting to follow our competitions throughout the rest of the year. I think it's something that eventing really needs.
Yeah, I absolutely love this idea. You don't have to be quiet. You can scream. You can cheer. Everything's awesome about it. Before we let you go, tell us when and where and how can people find out more?
You can definitely go to professionalriders.org, our website, and I believe so you can find out more about it there. It's going to be that first weekend in March. So the Friday night we have a party. If you're coming down for the weekend, this would be a great weekend to come down and visit Wellington. But Friday night we have a Calcutta party right at the White Horse Tavern, which is connected to, the bridge goes right across to the International Arena there. So there'll be tickets sold for that. That'd be great to get people there bidding on the teams and meet and greet everyone. And then the event itself is Saturday. I believe it begins at 5:30. It might start at 5. But, we also have a really great VIPs, tent as well, just for the Derby Cross folks. Selling tickets for that. I'd love people to come and join us there. But you can also, there's also plenty of general admission. So a lot of options, but just would love to see a great crowd come out and support us and have a bit of fun.
All right, Allison, thank you so much. We will put that up on our website as well and link to you guys, because I do think that's an awesome night, and best of luck.
Thank you so much. And one more thing. If anyone's, there are some sponsorship opportunities. If any companies are listening to this, we are, you know, sponsors are very popular, very affordable, which we're having meetings to do live feed of the competition as well. So that's fantastic.
Awesome.
The people that can't make it down. Yes, for the people that can't make it down, we're working on the live feed. There are sponsorship opportunities in the brochures for, you know, the event itself, and any page ad we're going to try. Those people will be able to get banner ads on the live feed as well. So really trying to reach out, you know, make this a reach out beyond Wellington, obviously, get as many people watching it and hooked on as possible. So really excited about this.
Well, Allison, best of luck. We'll be definitely, if we're not there, we'll be watching online. And good luck to you. Hope you guys win.
So much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Allison. All have right. a safe trip.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, that sounds so much fun. I want to go. That'd be so awesome.
I know. You cut out your sash and you just have the jumping. I mean, there you go. And I guess sounds like they mixed the stadium jumps with the cross-country jumps, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, the idea is great. It's fantastic. Just want to let you know our sponsor, Glenn, today, Kentucky Performance Products, and all horses have individual nutritional needs, and we know that meeting them can be challenging. It doesn't matter if you're a professional horseman or just, you know, a weekend warrior. We want to provide, you want to provide the nutrition necessary for your horse to thrive. So that's why the experts at Kentucky Performance Products understand that, and they've developed supplements that target specific needs. Kentucky Performance Products are formulated to complement today's feeds and safeguard against over-supplementation. Best of all, their supplements work. Naalox, the original equine antacid, has quickly become the product of choice for preventing ulcers from derailing your horse. And we know we all have problems with that. So Naalox can be fed daily to horses in stressful situations or as needed when shipping, competing, or during stall confinement. Keep your horse comfortable and happy with Naalox. Learn more about Naalox and all the other products at kppusa.com.
Hey, Jamie, I just got a note from Madison. Remember, I gave her a shout-out earlier because she was the girl
uh-huh.
that had the day off. And she says snow. She's in Austin, and she says snow in Austin is quite a rare thing. This is only the second time I remember in 16 years that we actually had snow. We got about a half an inch last night, and school is out. It's awesome. I've been playing outside all day. I love it. So, a half an inch. Can you imagine that if, you know, half an inch wouldn't even have you an hour late in the Northeast?
Oh, but see, growing up in Atlanta, same deal, girl. A half an inch would have shut down the entire city. I mean, and it has, because Atlanta's had snow already a couple times. And people have, like, they run to Kroger. We got to get bread and milk and eggs and all that kind of stuff that, you know, you think you're going to die if you can't leave the house for, like, a couple hours. So I totally understand how the panic ensues in the South when the snow comes. It's so true.
And by the way, Madison is one of my favorite names. I don't know why, it just is. So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, good. Are you still playing your game? Did you put your phone down?
No, actually, I did put it down. But, you know, when you and Darlie get talking about travel, I might have to get it back out again.
Hey, by the way, before she comes on, I do want to let you guys know that this is really – been a big story. If you've been involved in Facebook or I mean tweeting anything, Glenn, if we want to touch on the 52 thoroughbreds that found homes via Facebook, the Horse just published an article, thehorse.com. If you know 52 thoroughbreds in Ohio, the owner died and they were going to be sent to the slaughterhouse by the guy's son within, you know, by Saturday. And I'm not kidding you, thehorse.com just posted that every single one of these 52 thoroughbreds found a home, all because of Facebook.
Yeah, it was amazing. And of course, we've gotten it 100 times, and I still am getting it. So rest assured, everybody, that all the horses have been adopted. It's pretty much over now. It's been adopted, and they're out there. And I guess
yeah.
the Eventing Nation posted that they have somebody they know in the eventing world that adopted a couple of them from Ohio as well.
Yeah, so they're gonna blog about it. It's Jackie Smith up in Ohio, so she's blogging about it, calling them Jack and Jill, and adopted a couple. So you know, the woman that posted it received more than 4,000 phone calls. 4,000 phone calls, and she says they were adopted out one here, one there. A few people took two or three because they had room. The biggest lot taken was 11, and that's a personal friend of the lady. So she said that she was cautious of adopting out large lots of horses for fear that they would end up at auction, which is what she set out to not do. So she even had a girl from Germany call her saying she'd be in the States sometime this year, but she's got a friend who will take one until she gets there. I'm just going to ship it all the way to Germany. So that is the power of social media right there for you. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. And I think that proves the power of new media that we've never had before. And of course, our show is part of that. We're part of new media as well.
Yeah, and this just goes to show you that if all these people will come together for these 52 horses, why couldn't we, you know, get them all in there for all the other unwanted horses? I mean, do we have to do a Facebook campaign for every horse that needs a home? I guess so. Let's do it. Get your word out there. Now you know how to do it.
All right. Perfect.
So anyway, that was that. And I guess in a second here, we're going to have Darcy on. Darley on. Is she? Oh, she's ready. All right. For those of you who have watched the PBS show Equitrekking, and those of you who haven't, you need to, because Darlene Newman is the host of Equitrekking Travel, and she's also part of the she's also the one who won the Emmy Award for that show. It's on PBS, and Darlene's joining us. She joins us every month to tell us about her travels and get a little bit of behind the scenes. So we're going to talk to Darlene right now. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, I was just actually tweeting that you were talking about that horse story. So just to spread the word, guys, you know.
Well, they
Thank
all
you,
found
darling.
Homes. Yeah.
No, I know. That's amazing. That is so amazing. It is so powerful, though. I feel like everyone's just networked now, which is great. I mean, I'm sitting there. I tweet and ask questions. Someone asked me the other day, where can I go riding in Slovenia? And that's a place I just haven't been to yet. So I posted it on Twitter, and then somebody else said, oh, I went to this place in Slovenia. And then we got a travel review, and it kind of spread around. And this guy is now going to go there and check it out. And now he'll tell us how he liked it, too. So it's really, it's fascinating.
Wow. It's amazing how that works out. but you're exactly right. So what are we going to talk about today, Darlene?
Well, I heard you guys were just talking about good towns for horse people.
Yeah.
Phoenix?
Phoenix is fantastic this time of year to ride. I cannot argue with that. It is awesome. But, Darlene, it really sucks in the summer. I'm not going to lie.
Well,
it's horrible.
You know, we actually filmed in right outside of Phoenix in Cave Creek, which is a really – I don't know if you know that area, but that's a very
– I love it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has horses there. You can ride trails around the town. We actually rode into town and went to a restaurant, and that's where we did, like, a little Dutch oven cooking segment. So that's a nice place, and I wish I was there right now because everyone's having all this snow. I can't even believe it.
Oh, I know. People are getting just crushed right now, and I know Jennifer, our producer, is going to go ride her horse today because it's the first day she can, because they're going to get snow again tomorrow. And it's just, you're trying to find your horses, time for your horses when you can.
I know. Well, actually that's one thing. We did a snow riding episode, which, I mean, it's fun if the conditions are right, but you guys know the conditions really have to be right to be able to go. And I mean, if you want to have a nice experience for you and your horse out in the snow, we actually filmed that for one of our episodes, our Southern Quebec episode, and went up and did this, you know, we did horseback riding in the snow, we did driving a horse-drawn sleigh. We've been putting those video clips up online, and that was an amazing experience, but for us to film it, it was challenging because, as you can imagine, like when the temperatures dropped, we had to go back inside. At one point we were out and some of the equipment we were using froze.
Oh, no.
Oh, geez.
We actually used a snowmobile to bring back like some of the hard drives and stuff. We shoot in high definition, so we had hard drives out there. We're like putting them on a snowmobile to heat them up and bring them back to life. So it was interesting. And then all these people that I was with wanted to go jump into a sauna. And they're like, we ride, we get cold, we take off our clothes, and we run into the sauna. And I was like, I'm going to let you guys do that one. I'll be by the fire with my hot chocolate at this point.
Oh.
Yeah, that sauna thing's great till you get back out again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Glenn, is your wife going to go out? Is there snow on the ground? Is she going to go out and actually ride
snow? Actually, we had one 55-degree day here at the beginning of the week that melted all of our snow here in Lexington. So she does like riding in the snow. The problem we've had here in Lexington, it's been so darn cold. Like right now, it's 19 degrees. And it's been, you know, we'll have many days, most of the days this winter, we haven't been out of the mid-20s, and in the evenings it's in the single digits. So it's just been very, very cold here. And we've had snow on the ground most of the time, and this is the first day that we don't. So I think she, despite the cold, she's going out there to ride today, darn it, no matter what, because tonight we're supposed to get another 3-4 inches of snow. What's your favorite place? If people said right now, okay, I got a week off coming up, I want to get the heck out of the snow, where can I go and ride and have a wonderfully warm time this time of year? Besides Jamie's place, Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix. Well, Phoenix would be good. I did that one winter. I went to Tanque Verde Ranch, which was that's down by Tucson, but that's a nice like historic ranch, and you know, they have these fun breakfast rides. But to get even warmer, I would go down to Costa Rica. Costa Rica.
Ooh.
Yes. And I mean, we filmed there. I love Costa Rica. There are a couple of good riding options there. And, you know, there's the expensive riding option, and then there's the less expensive, more budget riding option, but the horses are still good. And they have some gated horses, which is nice for people that are into that. Because a lot of people, I've been talking to a lot of people, and they're like, where can I go and ride gated horses? So Costa Rica, you can do that and also be in the warm weather. Maybe go to the beach, ride in the rainforest, see some wildlife. I think that's a good pick for you guys. Jamie, I hear you're looking to go on vacation.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. We're beginning our summer vacation plan because, as you know, Phoenix, awesome in the winter, sucks in the summer. So we were looking around about getting a vacation for this summer, going somewhere a little bit cooler. And it didn't have to be a horse vacation, but Chad was on the computer last night, and I said, why don't you check out equitrekking.com? I believe they have a bunch of vacations. I didn't say equestrian vacations, and he didn't get it from the title. so I said, they have a bunch of vacations ideas. So we went to Equitrekking, and oh, my gosh, we're having so much fun. It's like, okay, do we want to go to Spain? And so we were looking at your ride in Spain and riding the horses in the school it's for beginner to advanced. And then we realized, okay, well, that might be a little bit pricey for this time in our lives, maybe when we're a little bit older and more, you know, ready for something like that. So then we were looking at the ones in Canada. We're looking at the ones in Montana and Wyoming. And I think we might have settled on Hawaii somewhere. because that's close
to Phoenix. A long way from Montana.
Yeah, well, it's not a long way from Phoenix, amazingly enough. It's not a very expensive flight. So we were looking at the one, and I believe we saw the Parker Ranch one. And they do a ride on Parker Ranch. And isn't that where Lost was filmed and also the dinosaur movie?
Well, I don't know, not at Parker Ranch, but definitely in the Hawaiian Islands. That's the Lost crew's been there forever, I think. Lucky them,
yeah.
Right? They got lost and they ended up in Hawaii.
Yeah,
well,
I know
Hawaii
a lot of
and Maui. You could do Big Island and Maui. We have two self-drives because we went to both of the islands and filmed, and so I tried all of these different rides. So what would be good about that, Jamie, is you could do it and, like, you could go ride for the day And if, you know, your husband didn't want to do that, then he could do something else.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Or you can drag him with you.
Oh, he would have to go with me, and then we'd hike the next day. You know?
Yeah.
So we were definitely looking at a bunch of your vacations online. So if anybody has any questions about them, definitely go to your website, equitrekking.com, because holy cow, it even got like North America's top 10 dude ranches, and I love dude ranches.
There's so many great – I mean, I just keep finding more and more places. I can't even keep track. That's why I think the social networking is good, too, because people keep sending me more recommendations, and I'm like, oh, I got to go there. I got to go there. And the list just goes on and on. There's so many – people are just – and it's so amazing the creative stuff that people come up with. Like you say Hawaii, you could go and you can ride through the Valley of Kings, which is this beautiful kind of lush rainforesty area. It's kind of off the grid and remote, but it's, you know, there are wild horses there. You could go over to, there's a ranch where you're seeing the Pacific Ocean, and, you know, you can canter or gallop up the hills, and it's just beautiful. I mean, the setting is just beautiful on Hawaii, the Big Island, and Maui. Maui, you can go into the volcano and do that ride, which that's one of my top picks. I would definitely recommend that you guys do that one.
Really?
That sounds hot.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. That sounds hot. It actually, the sun is really intense, so you definitely need to, you know, wear your layers and pack your sunscreen and slather it on, because you won't even realize it. But you know, as you kind of descend into this crater, you'll see, if you look out, the colors are changing, and you know, there's cinder cones in front of you. You can't even tell how far things are, how big things are, because it's just so vast. It's really amazing. It's Haleakala, and that's a ride that I would say is just one of the neatest ones out there.
That'd be fun telling your husband, hey, we're going on a, not only are we going on a riding vacation, we are going to ride in a volcano.
We'll see how he feels about that. So... Darling, what is one of your, and I know you've been on so many, but what is one that you would recommend for a couple?
Actually, I think Hawaii would be good for a couple, or Maui, or if Ireland is, I always say Ireland, but there's so many great choices in Ireland. Like whether you want to have more of a country club experience and do like a castle, or, you know. Something else.
I'm kind of with her on that one, because he can drink his way through the country while you ride.
That's a fantastic idea. Pub to pub. Here we go. We were looking at the Ireland. We talked to a guy from Ireland this week, Liam, with the social media awards, and he said that, you know, you can't beat a trip to Ireland as far as all the cool places you can go. And I'm looking at your website right now, and you've got, you know, the equestrian training, and then the riding adventures, and then these lodges you can go to, and the Ring of Kerry, which is lakes and mountains and beaches all in one ride. I mean, you just seriously can't beat that kind of ride.
Well, and the people are so great in Ireland, and the horses are so, I mean, I think the horses are so cool over there. I've always had good horses that are just, I like the ones that are chilled out so that you're on the trail and they're, nothing is bothering them, you know. It's just so funny. And it's so funny the Irish people are that way, too. I was talking to someone the other day that was telling me, he said, oh, yeah, I went to Ireland and I had such an amazing experience. He said, the horse that I rode was actually blind in one eye. And he said, I was kind of nervous at first, but the guy was like, oh, don't worry about it. He'll take care of you. And he was like, really? And he was galloping through, like, the woods and going to all these places. And on this horse, he's like, he couldn't see out of one eye, but you know what? He was just fine. And I was like, it's that laid-back mentality and attitude when they're like, oh, he'll just be fine for you. So I think that's, it's fun. It makes it an adventure for sure.
That's because the horses go to the pub, too.
Yeah, he couldn't see because he drank so much. I'm just kidding.
They just don't care. They just keep riding. Keep riding, keep riding. Next pub, stop. And you actually did that, though. You told me, I don't think we've talked about this on the air, but you actually did sort of do a pub hopping thing on the horseback over there, didn't you?
We actually did that. I did that in Ireland, and then I've also done it in Wales, and we also did it in Iceland.
Seems to be a trend there, darling.
I seem to be with people who want to stop at the pub. I don't know for like. What the deal is. I guess they just want to like have us meet the neighbors or something, because that's, you know, it's normal to just ride to the pub. It's so funny. In Wales we did it in two different places, and I'm like, okay, and you can just stop, and we have like a toasted cheese sandwich, and
there's
people get a beer.
There's something Darley doesn't mention though a lot of the times, and that is their husband is along because he's the producer of the show, and that's what I was saying to you. Your husband. I bet you he was one of the ones that was encouraging the stops at the pub.
I was going to say, that is why. I just put it all together, Glenn. Thank you. Now I know what's going on these shoots.
I'm telling you, you guys have got quite the scam going. Quite the scam. Like, hey, honey, let's hop on here and let's go to the Redwoods in California. And then next week we'll head to Alaska. And then we're going to go to Ireland. And then we're going to go to Africa. And we're going to get it all paid for and win an Emmy doing the whole thing. Quite the damn. You're awesome.
Hey,
I love it. You're my new hero.
We're doing research. We're providing a service for everyone out there who wants to know where to go to ride.
I think
That's
it's
true.
A fantastic thing you're doing. You know, you're a giver is what you are.
That is true, Jamie. Thank you. Thank you. That's all we can do.
Hey, Darley, you have an exciting announcement, I guess, coming up that you let me know about. Is it Create TV?
Yes. Starting March 30th, Equitrekking, the new season of Equitrekking, which has been airing now, but it's starting on a channel called Create TV. It's a public television lifestyle channel, and it reaches 84% of the country now. It's all cooking, travel, kind of lifestyle shows. And Equitrekking is going to be airing Wednesdays and Sundays at 9:30 a.m., 3:30 p.m., and 9:30 p.m. So pretty much most of the nation will be able to watch Equitrekking a lot on Create.
Wow, I didn't hear about that one. We're going to have to look and see if we have it here in Lexington. I'd never heard of Create TV.
Yeah, and they have a website at createtv.com. It'll be all Equitrekking all the time. So you can watch the new episodes, which we have the Jordan episode, Uruguay, Alberta, Canada, Jamie, some national parks and great branches and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be good.
Well,
cool.
Just know that you are providing a good service because your website is being thoroughly reviewed. So you definitely have done a good thing putting this all together. But I want to ask, what do you think is the most important one or two things about going on vacation? And I ask this because we have a friend that says, you know, it's the people that you meet and the food that you eat is the most important to him. So what is it to you?
It's the people and the horses for me. Definitely. And just finding the right vacation for you and your skill level and really what you want. I think that's really the key thing is getting matched to the right vacation. But that's what we love. I mean, we've met so many great locals, and they will make your trip. And you know, you want them to have good horses. So it's really that combination that's going to give you the best experience.
Okay, so yours is not the food that you eat. It would be the horses that you meat.
Well, food is important too, but I always bring like granola bars and power bars with me in case I'm having a bad food day. So, you know, I can do without the food as long as like the scenery is good, the horses are good, we're riding along. That's all good. I'll just bring my granola bar out that day if we're having a food shortage or something.
I bet you you've been offered some wild stuff too on your trips.
Yes, I've had some stomach issues from some of the food. Like, honestly, you know, it's traveling. You're traveling, so it's all foreign. And then when you need to just stay away from certain things. And I've had a problem because sometimes I've gotten offered stuff that I probably shouldn't be eating, but you don't want to be rude and refuse it. So that can be tough. Like in Turkey, I drank this stuff called Iron. It's like their national drink. They love it. Like we love Coca-Cola maybe. I mean, it's the salty milk that's almost like it's thicker. It's almost like a yogurt, and they drink
Ew.
It. They think it's just, it's like refreshing during the day. And we were in this town called Guzelyurt riding horses. We stopped at a local house, and we got to go inside, which was amazing, and actually see, you know, someone who wasn't like opening their home to tourists. So we got to see how the locals lived, but they had their cow there, and they actually milked their cow and made this homemade drink for us, but they mixed it with the local water. Anyway,
yeah.
We weren't supposed to be drinking the water, and nobody felt very good after that. But the old lady kept giving me the eye and looking at me going, drink it, drink it. And she didn't speak English, but she kept like going, drink your drink. She wanted me to be replenished for the ride, and I was thinking, oh, my stomach is churning.
Hell no.
Now, drink it.
Have you mastered the art of like, okay, say, if you're at a bar and somebody buys you a shot and you don't want to do it, I have this very special technique of, you know, cheers, everybody, and dumping it in front of me on the ground and then shooting it or throwing it behind me as I drink. So have you mastered the art of faking it?
I've gotten better at that, let me tell you, Jamie, because I was actually offered some, like, Turkish coffee, too, and I don't even want to say where I was because it wasn't very nice of me, but I was standing by a window, and no one was outside below me, let me just tell you that much, but I definitely threw it, like, right over my shoulder, looked at the guy while he was turned away and smiled, and I was like, oh, I already finished it. That was amazing. Thank you. So I'm getting better. I'm getting better.
Good to know. I'm not the only one. Hey, thank you so much for joining us, and I will definitely be touching base with you again, Darlie, as far as vacation plans, and if anybody has any questions, your website is equitrekkingtravel.com, but I also found it at just equitrekking.com, too, and you can find all the equestrian vacations you could potentially, you know, want to do, and you can read about it and get your personal review on it. And, of course, you can find out when your show is going to be on the air. So we will have to check in with you again next month, and everybody watch PBS and watch Equitrekking.
Thanks, guys. It was so nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Darlie.
Darlie, as always. Awesome. Thanks, Darlie.
Well, this the song today is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all their information on vaccines and wormings and barriers and dentist visits and all that stuff together and easily accessible. We talk about this every week, and you haven't gone over and done it yet, just open your iPhone, go to the App Store, and for $3.99, download PocketStable.com. and start using it. I think you're going to find it one handy tool. And it comes recommended by Dr. Tucker yesterday. So pocketstable.com. Today's song is Heart. It's a new one that we haven't played here yet by Marianne Kennedy. It can be found at mariannekennedy.com. It's called Heart in Your Hand.
Riding my horse one day, I had a flash and I heard him say, it's more than leather that you hold. When you take the reins, you know. It isn't some kind of magic between animal and man, more than words or whispers, it's a desire to understand. And you can do it too if you put your heart in your hand. Walking my dog one day, in a busy mind that was miles away, those eyes were looking straight at me, waiting for some love to run through that leash. It isn't some kind of magic between animal and man. Your heart in your hand. to touch. They demand so little, they give so much. More than a word or a whisper, your heart in your hand.
That was Heart in Your Hands by Marianne Kennedy. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn McGeek, and as always, here with Jamie Jennings and Jennifer H. And we are having fun today. This show is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find them at kppusa.com. And now up for our weekly Chronicle Report. Lisa, I think, is off this week. So we have my friend Sarah on from the Chronicle. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you so much.
This is fun. I haven't talked to you in a while, so I'm glad that you were able to join us this week. There's been all kinds of good things going on over at the Chronicle, and it's, you know, the Chronicle is one of those places that you just have to read every day.
Well, I so appreciate that. We try to put something up on our website that's different every day for different audiences. And, you know, we're all horse people, but we all have our niche, and we just try to find something that will appeal to everyone.
And I see one of the articles you have up here right now is team name for the, or teams named for Pro Derby Cross, which we had Allison Springer on this morning talking about that. And she certainly sounds very excited about it, and it sounds like it's just going to be a fun event.
I have attended Derby Cross in the past when it was held here in Virginia, and it has been just...
Oh, yeah?
I mean, it is so much fun. It's wonderful for the spectators, much more so than, you know, a regular event or horse show. They really do a great job bringing the crowd into it. And I am planning on I will be in Florida for the Derby Cross there, so I'm pretty excited about that. We'll be covering that on our website with photos and hopefully video, too.
Oh, cool. All right, well, maybe we'll catch up with you after that and find out how it went, and you can tell us what you thought.
Absolutely. I'd be glad to.
And, yeah, I hear there's a war going on over on your site, a little bit of one-upsmanship happening.
Yes, speaking of Florida, one of our bloggers, Lauren Spicer, she's a dressage rider, up and coming, and she headed to Florida from Virginia for 3 months. And I guess she's been getting some emails from people saying, you know, we wish we were there as we get, you know, the poor Northeast has gotten dumped on and the Midwest has gotten so much snow. I know you guys have been talking about snow this morning. Anyway, so she wrote a blog saying, you know, 8 reasons you shouldn't hate me. And she went off on some of the she was able to detail some of a few of the drawbacks about living in Florida right now.
All right. I want to hear tell us what a couple of those are.
Well, alligators, for one. They're pretty large, and she said that they pulled one, a 13-foot-long alligator, down from the canal down the street. So you don't have those where it's snowing. Cockroaches
That's
was another.
True.
She's sort of not a big fan of the creepy crawlers. No alligators, no cockroaches.
You know, that is a problem in Florida. You have all kinds of bugs, and they have those huge – my brother lives in Ocala – and they have those – what a thing is spiders are much bigger in Florida. And they also have those huge green pimento bugs, which are just – I find them creepy. You know, they're just creepy. We used to – I spent a summer in Florida, and we would have to hang our clothes out. We didn't have a dryer, and we'd have to hang our clothes out. And you would come out to get your clothes, and those big 4-inch-long fat pimento bugs would be stuck to your clothes.
Oh, all the bugs are bigger in Florida. The roaches are huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of them. They like that humid atmosphere, I think.
Now, what is cute in Florida, though, is you got those little the little salamander things, the little lizard guys.
Mm-hmm.
Forget what they're called. And they're cute. I find those cute. But they're all over the place in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Running around, dropping their tails, doing their thing. Lauren was also complaining, and we started to tease her about this, is that all she has to do down there is to ride her horses and go out to eat. And one of the things that they have all over the place is delicious, fresh key lime pie. So she's concerned that she's going to come back weighing rather a lot. But none of us were all that convinced that that was really a drawback.
Yeah. That sounds good to me.
Do you like key lime pie? I know Jennifer loves key lime pie. I'm not a big fan of key lime pie.
I think it depends on the key lime pie. I certainly wouldn't buy it out of the freezer section at the grocery store, but fresh key lime pie is kind of a whole different thing.
Yeah.
I like it.
Jennifer just wrote on our notes here, pie is pie, it's always good.
I was thinking the same thing, Jen.
Now, one of the actual drawbacks of Florida is it is difficult. It's sandy there. The turnout is a little bit tough, especially for horses coming from northern Virginia, where, you know, similar to Kentucky, we've just got so much wonderful pasture land. That's not as true in southern Florida. And the pasture and the hay that they have is not the same quality that our spoiled northern Virginia horses are used to. So she has had to help her horses adjust a little bit.
Well, sand colic is also a problem you have to be concerned about when you bring your horses from the north to the south. And Jamie obviously knows a lot about that out in Phoenix. And you actually were told, we mentioned this on the show on Monday, but for those that weren't here, you got to talk to, you found out that flax seeds are good for sand colic.
Yeah, they said fiber is fiber, so make sure that, you know, I still haven't, now, since I learned that this week, I actually went to the feed store and asked for flaxseed, and they only sell it in, like, the whole seed, which means you then have to cook it. So you either cook it or grind it, and I don't have a large grinder, nor do I want to cook anything for my horses, so I haven't figured out a good way to give it to them yet. I'm like, do I put it in my coffee grinder, because that's only, like, maybe 3 inches deep. So 50 pounds of that wouldn't go very far. I would get tired.
Are you sure that's true for horses? I know people don't digest flaxseed all that well, but I thought horses maybe were able to do better with it.
I think it's supposed to be either cooked or ground up. I'm not 100% sure, but I worked for an eventer that cooked flaxseed in a cooker before she fed it to him. Mm-hmm. And I remember something about saying it's almost could be like toxic or something. I don't quote me on that, but yeah, I heard you can't just feed it to them like that. But maybe they do, considering they sell 50-pound bags of it. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't think it's toxic, but I'm not sure if they get the same. I know with people, you don't get the same amount of nutrients because we're not really meant for breaking down, like, seeds and grains the way some other animals are, like birds. But I'm not sure with horses. I know that around here you actually can buy 50 pounds of ground flaxseed, but then it also can spoil easily, not obviously in the winter, but it can be, you know, in Florida that might be an issue.
Okay, I'll check it out. Let me do some research.
So far I'm not buying at all. I still think Florida sounds pretty good this time of year. When you're outside, especially in the Northeast and in the northern part of this country, and, you know, Jamie was there with us in Philadelphia last weekend, when the snow piles in the parking lots are 30 feet high and you can't see around corners to pull out stop signs, and in Boston, they're talking about, what the heck are we going to do with all this snow? I kind of think Florida still sounds pretty good. I think I could put up with an occasional alligator and a pimento bug.
Well, that was the response of our blogger, Elizabeth Howell. And this is all in good fun. These, you know, we're not really, our bloggers all get along. But she lives in Vermont, and she was pretty sure she could counter every one of Lauren's arguments. And so that's where we got into sort of a bit of a battle of the bloggers because, you know, well, the footing in Florida is sandy, and in Vermont they're riding in an indoor ring, and it's so cold outside that they have to, you know, they can't even get to their indoor rings with all the snow.
True. The biggest problem you have in all the snow and, you know, places like Vermont is getting the gates and the doors open. You have to, like, shovel 10 times the amount of snow just so you can get the gate open. That's the hardest part.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many obstacles that the snow makes for horse people in terms of taking care of your horses, whether that's getting, you know, into the place to ride or just getting them in and out of their stalls. It's not fun.
What does she have a counter for with alligators? Do you remember
well,
what
that was actually pretty funny. Our Elizabeth does this great blog. It's called She Rides, I Pay, and she's actually a mom to a teenage daughter who rides. But she also has a teenage son, and actually he might be a little bit younger. I know he plays hockey. And she offered, her son is a big fan of A&E's Billy the Exterminator. I don't know if you're familiar with that show. But
I think Jennifer watched it once, but I haven't seen it yet.
Anyway, Elizabeth offered to send her son, Ethan, down to keep Lauren company, and he offered to take care of alligators and palmetto bugs and cockroaches. He was all for it.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth was perfect. You know, she said, he's got a school vacation coming up. I will send him down to you.
That's funny. Oh, boy. And see, I'm not a bug person. I'm not real keen on the creepy, crawly things, so I'm all about Vermont, personally. I really am.
Well, and that's sort of, you know, as we thought about these different places where people are right now, I mean, there are definitely pluses and minuses to anywhere that you live in this country when it comes to taking care of horses and being a horse person.
Yeah. Where in Welly World can you go out and ride for 3, 4, 5 hours an entire weekend in the great wilderness all alone? Can't do that.
No, you can trail ride a lot, but you're riding from one person's horse facility to the next along the road. I mean, it's not wilderness.
Right. So Vermont can do that.
Absolutely.
Wellington can't do hill work.
No,
hill work is kind of tough.
I was a working student for Denny Emerson, and I lived in Vermont for almost a year, and that was, you know, he always was a big fan of doing the 100-mile ride at the Green Mountain Horse Association at their center, riding center there, and, you know, the mountains there and the riding, it's so beautiful, and not this time of year necessarily, but...
Now, I got to tell you, I've been to Denny's place in Vermont as well, and I don't think I have ever seen that many stars because he is flat in the middle of nowhere. I mean, nowhere is even close to where Denny's farm is. And I remember sitting out on the outside the barn looking up at the sky and going, oh, my gosh, that's a UFO. Did you see that UFO? There's something flying across the sky. It's a UFO. And we realized somebody's like, hey, idiot, that's a satellite. You can see so well into the sky because it's so dark there. You can see the satellites rotating around the sky.
I want to go.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm not sure Denny didn't think that most of his working students had been kidnapped by UFOs at one point or another.
We look forward to your letters and emails.
I'll tell you a joke too about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, he will. I used to go on long trail rides with him, and he, you know, the benefit of going on a hack with Denny was that you got a long stream of jokes to go with it. We were never bored.
He'll definitely keep you busy.
But you know, I'm from Maine originally, so I'm very much used to snow and hard weather, and I have to say that living in Northern Virginia, I mean, sure, it's been tough this time of year, but it's such a short time of year, and the rest of the year is so conducive to riding. It's just wonderful. You know, we kind of have it all.
Yeah, Virginia's kind of like, we're about the same height, actually, here in Lexington, so it's kind of the same, it's the same kind of thing. Now, you guys have the bigger mountains. And do you ever get a chance to go out into the mountains and hack and do some serious trail riding?
I am not a big-time trail rider. I do most of my hacking and stuff I do for conditioning because I'm an event rider myself. But I love a good mountain. That's, you know, again, when I was at Denny's, that's how I got fit for my first, or my horse got fit for the first 3 days, was going up the mountain there. And we have great hills here in Virginia, too. You can certainly, that's the fitness work that I'm more used to. I know, though, that I have a good friend who went for a riding honeymoon in the Blue Ridge Mountains. She's a little bit further south. So you don't have to go to Ireland like you were talking about before. You can go on just these wonderful trail rides right here in Virginia, right here in the United States.
Well, terrific. Well, we want to encourage everybody to stop over to the Chronicle of the Horse. And as I said, it's not something you want to do once a week. You probably want to do it more often than that because it's always being updated. And that's at chronofhorse.com. Thank you, Sarah. And we hope that we get to talk to you again sometime, although Lisa's been great. She's been bringing us some great stuff every week.
Oh, well, thank you. It was really fun to be on today, and I'm glad that you guys are having a good time with us. We really enjoy it.
All right, watch out for the alligators there.
I'll do that. I'm headed to Florida next week.
Be careful.
And we'll talk to you after Derby Cross, and we'll get
okay.
a report from you on how that went.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, thanks, Sarah.
You take care.
Okay, that's the Chronicle of the Horse here on the Horses in the Morning. Well, I guess that's,
hey Glenn.
You know, that's I still would rather be in Florida myself.
than up north, yeah, definitely. I don't care alligators. You know, we can gallop away from them, but the snow,
that's right.
Everywhere. It's everywhere. Hey, I've got a little pop quiz for you and Jennifer if you want to participate in it.
Oh, a quiz, a Friday quiz. This means I'm not going to be able to go back and play my game yet. I was hoping we'd quit early and I could play my game.
I'm pretty sure you've been playing with this whole show anyway, so just pay attention for a minute.
All right, but only if I get Jennifer's help.
Yeah,
oh,
Jennifer,
yeah.
you have to be a part of this too. Okay, so as you know... you know, if you have a teenager, if you know a teenager, if you are, you know, unless you've had your head in the sand, you know what phrases, like the kids, they text all the time, but they don't text words anymore. They text entire sentences like ROTFL, rolling on the floor laughing. LOL, what does that mean?
Laughing out loud.
Laughing out loud. So there's all these little text speaks that the kids use. I can't even remember some of the stuff my students tell me about. But they'd be like, GBD, FYC, and that's like, oh, yeah, I went to the store today and got some milk. I mean, that's how they go. They have these amazing text speaks. And there's actually now horse texting. So what I want to
oh, really?
Do is I want...
Our horses
yeah,
are texting?
No, these are things
yeah,
for
they
horse
have giant
people
QWERTY
to text.
Keyboards.
Yeah, I was wondering how the keyboards, their hoops are kind of big for that.
they got it figured out. No, these are actually for the riders. And say you're riding your horse and you can't text the entire sentence, then you want to just use the text speak. So I'm going to read to you guys the series of letters, and you tell me what it stands for, okay?
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you going to tell us where the spaces between words go?
There's no. It's every letter is a different name. LOL, laugh out loud. It's not L space O space L. It's just LOL. So that's how I'm going to read
it.
See
how much texting
okay.
Jennifer does.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to suck
okay,
at this.
Okay. So here we go. R to R.
R to R.
Starting out easy. R to R. Ready to ride.
Okay, got it. See, we're really good at this. Yeah.
Okay,
got it now. Okay, I'm ready.
Here we go. H-A-G-R. You should know this one.
H-A-G-R. Have or...
Yeah. H-A-G-R.
Have a great ride.
Yes, Jennifer, exactly.
Hey!
Have a great
Jennifer
ride. Gellin. Okay. L-A-S.
L-A-S is in okay. Sam?
Yep, L-A-S is in Sam.
Never an airport code for some airport. No.
Yeah, it is, actually.
That's L-A-X. That's a lost a shoe. Lost a shoe. O-O-H. O-O-H.
Yeah. Light.
O O H, out of hay.
Oh.
Out of hay. All right, so this would be a very horse husband thing to type. STC.
STC.
F as in
forgot
Frank?
The carrots. Forgot the carrots. And that's when you would be in big trouble.
Yeah, Beaker can type that one all by himself.
Yeah. So this would
I'm
be,
not doing so
pretty,
well here.
No, these are pretty tough. We need to study these because these are what the kids are going to be doing, okay? And this is how we now have to talk to each other. So we have the ROTFL, you know, rolling on the floor laughing. FOMHL would be?
FOMHL?
Falling off my horse laughing.
Yes, Jennifer!
I can do it with him.
Fell off my horse laughing. Okay, GVBS.
GVBS.
You're never going to get these, so I'll just tell you. Got vet bill, fainted. Then there's BF. GFBF. Got farrier bill, fainted. GBBF. Got board bill, fainted. And Jennifer, this is definitely one for you and me and all the ladies out there. HTNHFH. HTNHFH is hiding the new horse from husband.
I know a certain young lady fond of pink that does that one. Uh-huh.
Really?
Yes, I do.
She actually does
yeah,
that.
I do too. Yeah. That's true.
How about this one? BAHHFDP.
Oh, my goodness.
Bought another horse. Husband filed divorce papers. and then,
good.
You know, HIMB means hay in my bra. HSIH, horse snot in hair. MSMBO, mud sucked my boot off.
Oh, yeah.
And then one of my favorites
is... We used to have that problem at our farm.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
IPUTI. I'm picking up tennis instead.
That's right after you texted falling off your horse laughing.
Yeah, exactly. I'll pick up tennis instead. Of course, you got the UD, the unplanned dismount, praying to the dirt god is PTDDG, the master manure mucker, which is Glenn, is the MMM. You've got more horse than sense is MHTS. So, you know, just play with these a little bit. We can post these online, but there is one. And I think we need
a new line of bumper stickers for the Horse Radio Network with all of these on it. I think we need to come out. We can sell these.
Yeah, I like the bought another horse, husband filed divorce papers. Now, I did not write this one. This came to me via email, and DQFOY. Dressage queen fell off. Yippee. That's horrible. It's horrible. So, I'll email these to you, and we can put them up on Facebook. And you people study these because this is the new tech speak for horse owners. And then if I do the BAHHFDP, it could happen. Bought another horse. Husband filed divorce papers. That could be me next. That could be you.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, you better watch it. You're still on your honeymoon phase, but you're slowly using your points. We're slowly checking your points off because, you know, honeymoon ends after a while, and that's a distinct possibility. Got to tell you a quick story. A story which relates to one of these about hiding the horse is our friend Darcy, who's been on the show here, actually before Christmas, about 2 weeks before Christmas, bought a horse for her boyfriend as a Christmas gift. Well, he comes out to the barn all the time, so she came up with this elaborate story. And this is not a horse you could miss. It was a Belgian, and it had this huge white mane and huge white tail, and it's just a beautiful horse. It's a guy's horse, you know, it's a Belgian. So she said it was a Borders horse, and for 2 weeks she kept up this front, and he kept asking her, well, why don't the Borders ever come out to see this horse? She kept coming up with these stories. But she actually did keep it from him for the whole 2 weeks. And on Christmas Day, when they went out to do the barn in the morning, she had bows all in his mane. And I'm saying this is like a white mane, beautiful horse. And she had the bows all in it and everything. And then he actually did take a ride in his new horse on Christmas Day in the snow. So Yeah, wasn't that a cool story? And she pulled it off, and he kept asking. He was going after it, I'm sure. But you know what? When I talked to him later, he said, you know, I thought something was strange, but she never guessed that was his horse.
Oh, I can't. That's such a great Christmas present. Good job, Darcy. That's fantastic. I don't know how you would hide that. How do you hide a Belgian?
Well, the way she'd hit it was perfect, right under his nose. She hit it right under his nose. It was the perfect way to do it. And they named the horse Waffle.
They named him what?
Waffle. Belgian Waffle. So the horse's name
God.
Is Waffle.
That's great. That's fantastic. That's a great Christmas present. I don't think I could pull that off, being that we have five horses here and only four stalls. I think he would notice another one and know that it belonged to us. Yeah, nice work.
Well, and that, you know, if you think about it, this is her boyfriend, so that's a way to tie him in, too, you know, to the horse thing, is you buy him a horse. Now, she's no dummy. She's got him tied in now because he also owns a horse. So when she, you know, overdoes it a little bit or something like that, he can't whine because he's all part of the problem.
Yeah, we'll sell your horse, honey. That's a good idea. Plus, that's also major relationship stability is what that is. I mean, they may get in a fight, and he's going to be like, that's it, I'm leaving. And it's like, oh, really? Are you going to take your 2,000-pound horse as you'll lead it down the road on the side of your car? I mean, really, you can't. He's stuck now. That was brilliant. She's going to get married soon. He has no choice.
Hey, there's a... I think we need to start following another horse, because Inyata will be like his old news now. And she's just off having babies and stuff.
Watch your mouth.
So I think we need to start following a horse. It's a horse we mentioned a while back called Uncle Mo. And now I've become a fan of Uncle Mo's on Facebook. And Uncle Mo is really doing the Facebook and getting out there and doing the Twitter thing. And I really like what the owners and the handlers are doing with this horse. It sounds like this is going to be one that we should follow upcoming. He's going to be running in the Kentucky Derby, and I'm going to have Jennifer see if we can get a hold of some of Uncle Mo's people and see if we can start, you know, really following and making Uncle Mo our horse here on Horses in the Morning.
I'm telling you, I know you are too, Glenn. We're Facebook friends with him, and he just did his first workout of the year and posted about it. Although, Zenyatta's English is much better than Uncle Mo, okay? He doesn't communicate as beautifully and elegantly as Zenyatta does, but he's a dude, so we can only come to expect that. however, it's actually really good. Hey, Glenn, we have a caller on the air. We have a caller on the line.
Oh, yeah. I see who it is. And we have Alan Moorhead from the Western Radio Show here on the Horse Radio Network. I'm sure he's calling to pick on us about something. What's up, Alan?
Why would I pick on you about anything?
I mean, we know you.
John? I'm just looking here because I thought, you know, Alan's calling, which probably means that the Western Radio Show has taken over the fan count and has more fans than Horses in the Morning. But now
not yet, but you keep looking over your hip of your horse now.
What's
yeah,
up,
you
Alan?
You keep looking over the hip of your horse. And well, congratulations on having a few more fans than us.
It's only like 60 right now.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I noticed what you did on your show this week. Alan stole our girl.
No. Don't even go there. I was there when she was crowned.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I was announcing the rodeo at the International Finals Rodeo.
Well, tell everybody what you did on your show this week.
Oh, well, coming up on the westernradioshow.com, y'all talked to Katie Barger, and when I saw she was on there, I said, good gosh, I've been talking to her about coming on our show, and then y'all stole my guest without even realizing you stole my guest. But y'all have done that several times anyway, so, I mean, you know, you take a good thing and you put it on yours, and then when you post all your shows on the westernradioshow.com Facebook page and take up all of our space, where nobody can see what our shows are doing, how can you help but not have a few more fans than us? But not only do we have Katie Barger, who is Miss Rodeo USA 2011. But we backed up and had last year's Miss Rodeo USA 2010 Dakota Misseldine from Alabama on the show as well. And it's just an awesome show. It gets a little bit in-depth as to what Rodeo Queen, the contest, and all that is about, and as being an ambassadress of rodeo, how they represent the Western way of life across the country, and even some of the special needs things that they do, like visiting some children's hospitals and such as that. It's just awesome. And there's a great story, and there's probably something you'll find out on our show that you guys didn't delve deep enough to find out about with Katie, and it's an awesome little story, and it's an angelic story. That's all I'm going to say. You have to listen to it to find out exactly what she says about a personal story in her life.
I think he's doing a throwdown here. He had two pretty girls on his show in one day, so I think that's a little bit of a throwdown. I'm going to have to get busy here. We didn't have both of them. You know, there's two different rodeo queens too, isn't there? Two different associations, right?
Well, there's the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. They have Miss Rodeo America, and that contest is held each year with the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas, Nevada. The International Professional Rodeo Association has its Miss Rodeo USA. That's held each and every January at the International Finals Rodeo in Oklahoma City. And even beyond that, Glenn, it goes into each rodeo. And the way you get like a Miss Rodeo USA or a Miss Rodeo America, rodeos across the country will have their own queens contest. Like, say, near here, there is the over in Mississippi, the Dixie National Rodeo. They have a Miss Dixie National Rodeo. Well, she'll represent that rodeo throughout Mississippi and the Southeast and wherever she may get booked to go. And then she goes to Las Vegas, Nevada, to have the opportunity to be Miss Rodeo America with the PRCA. And then the IPRA,
I think, Alan, what you need to do is have both of those rodeo queens on at the same time and have a throwdown. Just have them go at it.
Well,
oh, my
God.
Stop.
Are you going to have a mud wrestle or what, Glenn?
Yeah. What on earth?
Yeah.
First of all,
Jamie,
not TV,
Jamie
could
be our
Glenn.
Guest referee.
Not a chance. You guys are on your own for this one. But I got to point out, hold on, Jennifer and I are so mad at you right now, Glenn. It's not even funny, okay? First of all, he's got his two little rodeo queens on, and by the way, they've both been on our show already like months ago, so whatever, Alan. So you get them both on, and Glenn says you have two pretty girls on your show in one day. Glenn, you have two pretty girls on your show every single day, and your wife is going to come by and box your ears. You are in big trouble.
I think we've lost Jamie's
connection. She's having trouble talking right now. I think we've lost her.
You're in trouble.
Virtual racing? No more.
Ooh, I heard some hissing. Somebody's getting ready to strike.
Thanks for calling up and stirring up the pot here, Alan. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Good luck to you, Glenn. That's all I'll say is good luck to you.
Jennifer, I think we need to have the January episode of The Hottest Horseman and then a February episode to make up because we missed the January episode, February. Then we'll have to have a March episode of The Hottest Horseman, and pretty much we could just fill our time talking to hot guys. I mean, don't you think?
Oh, and on that note about The Hottest Horseman, I noticed that y'all had a category for best in what do y'all call them things that the English guys wear? The
breeches.
Yeah. Why did you not have a best in jeans or something like that? I mean, you know,
everybody wears
jeans. Cowboys out.
Everybody wears jeans. We might have to have a best belt buckle though.
Not like a cowboy.
We need to have best belt buckle next time around.
Actually,
yeah,
you know what we did think of? We did think of best in chaps is what one of the things we had thought of.
And no jeans?
No! I'm gonna beat you, Alan.
Hey, Glenn.
And on that note,
now that I've got the pot stirred up for you, here's my good advice for you today for brownie points. You better go clean Jennifer's stalls.
Yeah.
Bye, Alan. WesternRadioShow.com.
Bye.
awesome.
That's it. And I'm in trouble now. So I'm just going to, we're going to sign off. You can listen to all of our shows on thehorseradionetwork.com. You can find Alan's over there too. I did not ask him to call in this morning, and now look what's happened. Oh, jeez. Those Western guys get me in trouble every time. You can also follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. And if you miss a show live, you can still listen to the recorded version on our website, our affiliate website, or on iTunes. And I do want to mention that the Chronicle of the Horse carries our show as well as all our shows. So they are one of our affiliates. We'll be back on Monday, Jamie. Well, maybe I'll be back on Monday. The boss just might get fired this weekend. One of us, somebody will be back on Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye. Have a good weekend.